masked savior.
Oh, the savior of mankind, please show us a sign.
To the designer of the human civilization that is established on the unity of Almighty Allah. To the redeemer of human volition and thought.
In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his immaculate progeny. Dear brothers and sisters all over the world, Assalamu alaikum and welcome to yet another edition from series of The Last Savior from IRIB English Radio. In this series of shows, we are trying to focus and concentrate on some doubts and misconceptions with regard to the concept of Mahdawiyya or Mahdism. The Islamic researcher, Sheikh Murtada Karimi from Qom Seminary Schools. Sheikh, assalamu alaikum and welcome.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah and thank you for having me.
Many thanks for accepting the invitation, Sheikh. The question that we need to discuss it today in this show is concerning, again, the doubts and misconception that a so-called scholar belonging to one of the Islamic denominations made on the followers of the school of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam and their beliefs on jihad at the time of major occultation of Mahdi. He first believed that they actually stopped and banned jihad at the time of occultation, which was answered in depth and details in our previous sessions. Now we want to actually refer to the hadith that he refers to, that in the school of Ahlul Bayt, they reprimand the importance of jihad. Let's focus on this part and see if the hadith that he mentions are true hadith and documented and authenticated hadith or not. This is the center of a question from Sheikh Murtada Karimi, Islamic researcher from Qom Seminary Schools. I'd appreciate if you shed some light on this neo-doubt or misconception which was being posed.
So we answered this doubt that Shia have banned the concept of jihad during the major occultation. We said that jihad can be initiative jihad and defensive jihad. For initiative jihad, some Shia Jewries, which are the majority, they believe that it cannot be performed without the permission of an infallible imam. But there are some Shia Jewries who believe that it can be performed too. But for defensive jihad, all the Shia scholars believe that not only it is allowed during the major occultation, but it's an obligation upon all the Muslims, all the Shias, to take part in defensive jihad. And of course, we refer to the history of Shia and Sunni and the fact that now in our time and era, the main supporters of the oppressed people all over the world are the Shia countries and not the Sunni and Wahhabi ones. Of course, again, we are not talking about the people, we are talking about the governments. Now, as you rightly mentioned, this Wahhabi scholar has referred to two narrations. The first narration reads that Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, fighting with a person, fighting without an infallible imam is haram, is forbidden, like eating pork or blood. Meaning that if there is no present imam, the people cannot perform jihad, cannot fight at all. And another narration reads, Abdullah ibn Sanan asks Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam that what do you say about the people who are killed in the borders? So at that time, it was the time of the Umayyads or Abbasids. Some soldiers, some Muslim soldiers, they are killed in the borders of the Islamic territories. And Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, says that woe be unto these people. They are hastening toward being killed, and the rest of the narration. So as for these two narrations, we mentioned that the chain of the narration is not authentic. It's these two narrations are weak. So, we cannot refer to these two narrations to claim that jihad cannot be performed during the major occultation. But let me, answer this question from another perspective and another dimension. There might be some narrations which somehow reprimand fighting and doing jihad during the major occultician or without the presence of an infallible imam. Now, the point is that when we refer to other narrations, we come to this conclusion that what matters is the intention for fighting.
Yeah.
So if the imams, in some narrations, they are, reprimanding those people who are fighting, it is because of the fact that, for example, in these fightings, the divine laws were not, taken into consideration. And the intention of those who began fighting was only to adding some more territories to Islamic territory and to gain more wealth and properties.
Mm-hmm.
That is the reason that the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt, discourage people from, attending this sort of jihad, this sort of fighting, which is not for the sake of God.
Mm-hmm.
It is for the sake of land. It is for the sake of money and properties.
Okay, thank you very much, dear Sheikh. Let's have a short break. Inshallah, we shall get back to you again with the rest of our discussion.
IRIB English Radio, you're listening to.
This is the last savior which comes to you.
False claimants to the position of Al-Mahdi. Doubts and misconception of the reappearance of Imam Al-Mahdi.
Welcome back, dear brothers and sisters, to the last savior from IRB English Radio and our discussion concerning the ahadith which reprimand the importance of jihad as claimed by this so-called scholar belonging to one of the Islamic denominations, that the followers of the school of Ahlul Bayt, actually they have some hadith and narrations that in which the importance of jihad is reprimanded. Sheikh Murtada was saying that these ahadith, these narrations are not authenticated ones and they are weak. And let's listen more and learn from him.
So, as I mentioned, when we refer to other narrations, we come to this conclusion that these narrations discouraging people from joining the army of, for example, a caliph, an Umayyad caliph or an Abbasid caliph, it is because of the fact that the intention for this, we may not call it jihad, for these fightings was not for the sake of God. It was for the sake of land or properties and wealth.
Very true.
So, let me share some narrations that, lead us to come to this conclusion. A man told Imam Sajjad alayhi salam that, I see that you have come to Hajj and you have abandoned jihad.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed that Hajj is much easier for you than doing and performing jihad. And he recited the verse which reads that, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala buys from the believers their souls and properties. Imam Sajjad alayhi salam answering him, he says that if you're reciting this verse, recite the whole verse. The mm-hmm. last part of the verse reads those people who take into consideration all the limits mm-hmm. and all the laws which are mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we have such people, for sure, in that case, we will also join jihad. These people that you're talking about, they fight other countries. They are not doing that for the sake of God. They are not protecting the divine limits. They are not taking into consideration the divine laws.
Very true.
Another very interesting narration is from Muhammad ibn Abdullah. He says that...
Muhammad ibn Abdullah, you mean the Holy Prophet?
No, he is one of the companions of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam.
Very true, thank you.
He says that... sometimes we are in our houses and it is announced in the city that take the weapons and the arms and join the Islamic army. So it seems that there is a kind of fight between the Islamic government and another country.
Yeah.
Should I follow them? Then Imam gives him a very beautiful example. Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam told him that if you join this so-called Islamic army, and then you capture a person and you give them security and you treat that person as the prisoners were treated by the Prophet, peace be upon him, and his family. We know that how kind our Prophet was toward the prisoners of the war. Now, Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam tells him that if It happens, though, you capture a person, you want to treat him like the Holy Prophet treated the prisoners of the war. Will those commanders of the army agree with you and they will permit you to do so with regard to that prisoner of the war? The companion of the Imam says that I swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that no, they will not do that. They may, for example, kill him. So Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam says that in that case, do not go with them because of the fact that this is not a war for the sake of God.
Mm-hmm.
If it was for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in that case, they need to take into consideration all the hudud Allah, all the divine laws and limits.
Very true.
In another narration, a man told Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam that I used to go to jihad a lot. I was looking for thawab. So I was away from my family for a long time. And then I was told that practicing jihad is not allowed without the presence of a just imam. What's mm-hmm. your viewpoint in this regard? Imam Sadiq alayhi salam told him that, do you want me to answer you briefly or in detail? The man said, briefly, please. Imam said that on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will resurrect the people based on their intention.
Mm-hmm.
That was the brief answer of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, which I think is, the whole answer. If in some narrations the Shia are discouraged from joining these so-called Islamic armies, it is because of the fact that the intention is not divine. The intention is not holy. The intention is only for, extending the territories and for gaining...
conquering the territories.
Yeah, properties and wealth. So if Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam is talking about the intention, he is referring to this fact.
Yeah,
and that is why we see that Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam in one of the famous supplications, which I think is mentioned in Sahifa Sajjadiyah, he talks about those great Muslims who are protecting the borders of the Islamic territories, which means that if the intention is divine, then... they are even prayed for by an infallible imam like Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam. Let me share the first line of this supplication so the dear listeners can search for it later. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa alih wa hassan thughur al-muslimin bi'izzatik wa ayyid humataha biquwwatik. So Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam in his time, which is the time of the oppressive rulers, he is saying and he is praying for some of the Muslims who are protecting the Islamic territory because of their good intention. So what matters is the intention. If in some narrations the imams, they are asking some Shias not to join these Islamic, so-called Islamic armies.
Thank you, dear Sheikh, for your scholarly information and enlightenment on the topic, and I think it was quite informative for those who wanted to know the answer. If jihad is stopped and banned in the school of Ahlul Bayt or not, definitely the answer is no, and jihad has been and is and will be among the quite clear-cut beliefs and principles in Islam, and definitely the followers of the school of Ahlul Bayt will be with it anywhere and anytime. But the understanding of jihad, as we said, two different forms of it actually requires a sort of research, and inshallah, with pure intention, it can be done in the right way. Thank you very much, dear brothers and sisters, for staying tuned and listening to The Last Savior from IRB English Radio. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Allahumma.
In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. O Allah, protect your representative, Al-Hujjah bin al-Hassan, Imam al-Mahdi, and send salutation upon him and his ancestors, now as well as all the times. Be his guardian, protector, guide and assistance. Help him in his path and be watchful for him till you let him rule over the earth willingly and cause him to live in it for a long time.
وقائدا وناصرا Allah.